Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, March 1st. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Council OKs Low-Income Senior Apartments in West Midland. City leaders unanimously approved a zone change to permit a multifamily housing development. By Stuart Doreen. A low-income housing project for seniors has been approved for West Midland. The Midland City Council unanimously approved a zone change from light industrial district to multifamily dwelling district to permit a senior multifamily housing development. The plan offered, according to the city, shows 69,620 square feet of continuous space for up to 200 units for seniors, age and income restricted. There will be 89 one-bedroom units, 111 two-bedroom units, common areas, a dog park, and 357 parking spaces. The complex will be located between Woodcrest Drive and Idlewild Drive, generally north of Douglas Avenue. It would be located to the south of Boot Barn, 4803 Andrews Highway, and West Texas Automotive, 4703 Andrews Highway, and near the West Texas Food Bank, 1601 West Cliff Drive. There was opposition to the zone change and project from Cornerstone Housing Group out of Nebraska. Those speaking mentioned traffic, crime, available housing already in Midland, the impact on businesses in the district, property values, and the likelihood that the over 55 residents also could attempt to house children in the complex. Community members and project officials speaking out for the complex mentioned the impact fees that the complex will generate, that they said will help pay for a light at Westcliff and Andrews Highway. They also mentioned other low-income senior facilities around the nation run by the developer, no residents under 55, and that congestion could be worse if a light industrial facility were built and the traffic included trucks and hauling vehicles. Ultimately, Councilman Jack Ladd Jr. asked City of Midland Community Development Manager Isaac Garnett about the need for low-income senior housing. Garnett said low-income housing for seniors is an issue in Midland and across the country. He referenced a 2020 study that showed senior affordable housing is not being met in Midland. David Diaz of the Midland Community Development Corporation told the council that he has worked with two low-income senior facilities, and Westridge Apartments for 55 and older is 100% occupied and has 60 families on the waiting list. The other, Parker Place, is 97% full, he said. Ladd is the councilman for the area where the proposed complex will be located. He told those on hand inside council chamber at City Hall that he talked with Cornerstone Housing Group CEO Bobby Joe Lucas about the project this week. He also talked with the West Texas Food Bank, which is expected to open a food pantry at the complex. He also said that views of other complexes across the nation, using Google Earth, showed facilities that have been kept up, and that city staff told him the data doesn't support that senior low-income facilities increase crime on a particular neighborhood. Based on that data, I just couldn't vote on the issue of crime, Ladd said. As far as traffic, I think there were a lot of legitimate concerns there. City staff and city leaders talked about traffic, including city plans to put a light at Woodcrest Drive, around halfway between Loop 250 and Midland Drive, and Andrews Highway. This column is called Small Bites. Today's title is Jimmy T's Drive-Thru Remains Community Staple by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the corner of West Illinois Avenue and Midland Drive stands a bright yellow and red convenience store turned snack shop, with empty gas pumps still positioned on each side of the long rectangular building. Inside, vibrant colors, fresh fruit, and tributes to a Falamir Chihuahua childhood fill the air. Owner Abel Del Hierro, his brother Ramon Del Hierro, and co-owner Jaime Perea bought Jimmy T's, previously named, back in February 2019, right before the dreaded pandemic shutdown. "We were scared," Abel admitted. "I just left my job the month before it started to be full-time here." Nevertheless, the trio persisted, ultimately growing their reach, forging their place in the community, and leaving a positive impact. With an emphasis on creating unique and delectable dishes, treats, and drinks, the West Side staple represents everything local businesses should be about: quality over quantity. Midlanders can visit Jimmy T's drive-thru, indoor seating as well, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week, at 4321 West Illinois Avenue. The restaurant can also be found on DoorDash. For socials, follow Jimmy T's on Facebook and Instagram. Hot Bites. Whether you're looking for something light, filling, powerful, or mild, Jimmy T's can probably get the job done. I mean, they serve snow cones, desserts, Mexican snacks, fruit, and even milkshakes. What more could you want? Although Ramon recommends the banana split, paired with 3 scoops of ice cream, fresh fruit, drizzled sauce, and whipped cream, I'd say go for the eclectic combinations first, such as flaming Dorinachos, nacho Doritos covered in queso, a cream sauce, Valentina, and corn. Hot Cheetos and cheese. Flamin' Hot Cheetos covered in queso. Or the Chilindria. Duros, cabbage, avocado, pickled pig skin bits, cream sauce, and Valentina. Since Abel and Jaime buy the fresh fruit every morning, customers can expect the best of the best when ordering items such as manzana loca, a chamoy-covered apple, usually paired with other fruits, and topped in chamoy, tajin, and other deliciousness. Note, when I say this fruit is fresh, I mean I can't even find fruit this fresh at the store. Ever. It's mouth-watering, refreshing, crisp, and absolutely exquisite. Dessert items include cheesecake, fresas con crema, strawberries and cream, the Jimmy Sundae, banana pudding, and much more. For shakes, Oreo, pistachio, horchata, mazapan, Kit Kat, and vanilla make up a few items on the bill. To see a full list of snack, dessert, fruit, and shake options, visit Jimmy T's Facebook page. Cold Sips. I've had a few Aqua Frescas since being in the 432, and Jimmy T's easily ranks number one. By incorporating their fresh fruit, not one batch, mango, melon, pineapple, limeade, etc., tastes more than 20 seconds old. The stimulating mix of ice and raw fruit juice truly creates an indescribable experience when drinking. For those looking for something a little more dramatic than an agua fresca, Jimmy T's specialty drinks include a heaping of fruit, tajin, and other toppings of choice, and these bad boys are packed to the brim. Options include a strawberry horchata float, La Toxica, mango con crema, agua fresca, and more. Lastly, the Red Bull concoctions. By mixing flavored Red Bull, watermelon, coconut, peach, etc., with syrups and fresh fruit, Jimmy T's gives Midland a one-of-a-kind drink, full of the rich, punchy taste of fruit and the energy spike of Red Bull. To To see a full list of drinks, visit Jimmy T's Facebook page. Overall vibes. Clearly, I could go on and on about how creative and appetizing the food, treats, and drinks are at Jimmy T's. Yet, the true selling point for me lies in the business's authenticity. As the man behind the socials, Ramon prides himself on not only making sure customers receive what they see, but also that each item sold follows their motto of quality over quantity. If not, he makes the necessary changes right away. For Abel and Jaime, customer service stays number one, and no matter how intimidated someone may feel walking into a predominantly Spanish-speaking establishment like Jimmy T's, the trio always welcomes customers of any background with open arms. Lastly, you probably won't find an atmosphere or family-run business more humble and inviting than at Jimmy T's. I walked out of our interview feeling like I'd known Abel, Ramon, and Jaime since day one. Their hospitality, relatability, and sincere love for their business run in their veins. The blueprint for less is more. Abel, Ramon, and Jaime give Midlanders the chance to take a step back from the constant hustle and bustle of life and provides a space for customers of all ages to enjoy. This article is entitled Infinity Water, XTO Energy, Sign Water Reuse Agreement by Mella McEwen. On the eve of participating in the first day of the Permian Basin Water in Energy Conference, Infinity Water Solutions announced agreements covering substantial volumes of recycle and reuse water in the New Mexico portion of the Delaware Basin. Anchoring this agreement is a multi-year contract with XTO Energy, an ExxonMobil subsidiary that expands XTO's portfolio of water management initiatives in the Permian Basin. This collaborative work with Infinity is part of ExxonMobil's ongoing efforts to seek industry-leading performance on water management in the Permian, including a continued focus on increasing water recycling and sharing. David Scott, general manager of ExxonMobil's Permian Basin business unit, told the Reporter Telegram by email. As a leading operator in the Permian Basin, we are working to do our part and collaborating with others to help safeguard New Mexico and West Texas water sources. Michael Dyson, Infinity's chief executive officer, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview, "The agreement with XTO shows the producer is moving forward on water recycling and reuse. We have now had conversations and shared Infinity's vision with Exxon, and they responded by increasing their commitment," Dyson said. "They're walking the right path, and hopefully this credentials us with other operators." Dyson will be part of a panel discussion the first morning of the conference to discuss partnerships in the Permian Basin to advance water technology and beneficial reuse. Infinity operates a closed-loop water management system, meaning all the water gathered at its flagship Mills Ranch 1 facility in Eddy County, New Mexico, including XTO's produced water, has been recycled and redistributed back into the oil and gas industry in New Mexico. Dyson explained that legislation passed in New Mexico in 2019, as the Austin-based company was setting up operations, formulated an intelligent legislative and regulatory framework for the Infinity business model to work. In Texas, he said, the company primarily serves as consultants, but at some point in the future, Infinity will own and operate infrastructure in the Midland Basin. Infinity's Mills Ranch 1 facility, which was commissioned in 2022, includes a water-sharing network covering over 150,000 acres across Eddy and Lee counties in New Mexico. It has a current throughput of more than 125,000 barrels per day, with a staging inventory of just more than 3 million barrels. To date, Infinity has treated more than 4 million barrels of water. Dyson said the company is approaching water treatment with sustainability in mind. What that means practically is, how do we improve efficiency? Efficiency will be critical to sustainability, he said. The idea of taking wastewater and thoughtfully, cost-effectively treating it so the next operator can benefit is a no-brainer. Everyone in the state's capital in Austin is focused on ways to keep a scarce resource where it needs to be, and helping mitigate the risk of seismic activity, Dyson said. The New Mexico Oil and Gas Association has come out with numbers showing a significant multiplier in the number of barrels of water the industry produces versus what the industry will subsequently use, he said. The question is, what happens to the barrels not used? And the answer is putting it down hole. Seismicity then becomes a question. The Permian Basin is only getting more robust as technology allows the region to become the most prolific oil and gas basin in the world, one that is attracting the industry's most meaningful players. That is increasing the challenges of what to do with the water. The one answer is to repurpose that water outside oil and gas, he said. It is, he acknowledged, a transition that will take time, but we're excited to be part of it. This article is entitled, City Leaders Call for Fast-Tracking Traffic Light on Andrews Highway, by Stuart Doreen. During the discussion about a proposed low-income senior apartment complex, Midland City Council members and city staff addressed the increased traffic motoring down Andrews Highway in West Midland. It was then that the newest member of the Midland City Council, District 4 Representative Amy Stretcher Burks, stated her hope that the city could fast-track a traffic light at Woodcrest Drive and Andrews Highway. During the discussion about the complex, those in opposition repeatedly used traffic as a reason to deny a zone change needed to make the complex a reality. They stated another complex along Andrews Highway would have a negative impact on streets like Woodcrest, Westcliff Drive, and Idlewild Drive. One speaker mentioned a city traffic report that showed the intersections at Andrews Highway and Loop 250 and Andrews Highway at Midland Drive to be among the most dangerous in Midland. A traffic light at Woodcrest and Andrews Highway could help bring more orderly traffic flow, city officials said. Burks then stated her preference to see city leaders not wait for the Texas Department of Transportation to decide on funding for a traffic light at that location, and that the city take charge. City officials said, a best-case scenario is having a traffic light in place at that intersection within a year of the City Council approving the funding. A light would help the situation at the site of a future apartment complex and its 200 units, city staff said, pushing more traffic toward Woodcrest and not other streets like Princeton Avenue or Idlewild. The apartment complex will include two egress points along Woodcrest and only one on its west side along Westcliff. Developers of the low-income senior facility also plan to dedicate land for the city to use to build out Douglas Avenue in that area, south of Andrews Highway but north of Princeton Avenue. Part of the plan to help with traffic flow could also include longer green lights on Andrews Highway at the intersections at Loop 250 and Midland Drive, eventually preventing people from making left turns at Idlewild onto Andrews Highway, and putting signage up to prepare people to slow down coming off State Highway 191. The whole situation, if there's a silver lining to the people who didn't want the low-income senior apartment complex, it's really brought my attention to this whole area and making sure that we focus on alleviating a lot of those traffic issues in that area, said Jack Ladd Jr., city councilman for District 3, which includes the area where the apartment complex will be located. This article is entitled County to Demolish Old Salvation Army Building by Ben Schaffer. The Midland County Commissioner's Court approved a motion to go out for a request for proposal to demolish buildings at 301 South Main Street and 300 South Baird Street. An old Salvation Army building was at 300 South Baird Street, and 301 South Main Street is a corporate building. The buildings are just east of the Midland County Jail, south of Industrial Avenue. The county is searching for an architect to assist in demolition plans. This article is entitled, Authorities Searching for Missing Odessa Infant, Last Seen in January, by Mercedes Cordero. Authorities are searching for a missing 6-month-old Odessa infant that was last seen on January 11th. Danny Ray Couch may be in Midland, according to authorities. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children shared an urgent alert for Danny Ray Monday on their social media sites. Danny Ray was allegedly abducted by his mother, Shalyn Karali, on January 11th. A felony warrant for custodial interference was issued for Karali on February 15th. Danny Ray has brown hair and eyes, is 1'8" tall, and weighs 21 pounds. Anyone with information about Danny Ray's whereabouts, call 1-800-843-5678 or the Midland County Sheriff's Office at 432-688-4600. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, March 1st. Robert Chapman. Robert Chapman of Midland passed away at his home on Saturday, February 18th. A visitation is planned for March 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m. and a memorial service on March 4th at 2 p.m., both at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home in Midland. Robert was born on August 16, 1955, in Saginaw, Michigan, to Henry and Essie Mae Chapman. Bob was preceded in death by his parents, his brother James, and his sister Leela. He is survived by his wife Candy, his brother Earl, and wife Mary, a nephew Desmond Williams and wife Natasha, plus great-nieces and nephew Alexia, Cecilia, Desmond Williams, and Takesha Brown. In lieu of flowers, Bob would be pleased to suggest that memorials be directed to the Write with Light project at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Sammy Kreitz. Sammy Nell Kreitz was born in Clinton, Oklahoma, July 16, 1941, to Vonsele Lillian Ade Bannister and Alva J. Bannister. She is preceded in death by her parents, husband, and infant son, Kevin. She is survived by her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. As in life, she has once again decided to give and has donated her body to Texas Tech Medical School. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to Gifts of Hope. Gifts of Hope, 2006 West Tennessee Avenue, Midland, 79701. Death Notices. Daisy Wynell Rickey. Daisy Wynell Rickey, 87, of Midland, passed away February 26th. The family will receive guests from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Thursday, March 2nd, at Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 12 p.m. Friday, March 3rd at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home, with interment following at Resthaven Memorial Park. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Delia Longoria. Delia Galvin Longoria, 62, passed away Friday, February 24th. Services will be held at a later date in Ozona. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Elizabeth Ford. Elizabeth Ford, 75, of Midland, passed away February 27th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, March 1st, at Nellie Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, March 2nd, at Kermit Cemetery in Kermit. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Robert Emmett Power. Robert Emmett Power, 86, died on February 22nd in Granbury, Texas. A memorial is pending at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. Shirley Tucker. Shirley Nani Tucker, 83, of Midland, passed away February 26th. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, and family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com.
This is Thoris with the Odessa American News for Wednesday, March the 1st. The headlines is Sandra and Toby Eoff honored at United Way Luncheon. Each year, the United Way of Odessa recognizes members of the community who help out with the nonprofit organization's mission of improving lives throughout the nine counties in which it serves. The United Way of Odessa held its annual 2022-23 meeting and awards luncheon Tuesday afternoon at the MCM Fun Dome and honored Odessa leaders. Among the awards given out was the Anita and Bill Elms Award, which was awarded to Sandra and Toby Eoff, as well as Odessa College President Gregory Williams. It means a lot to us because of what United Way of Odessa has done for the community, Sandra Eoff said. They've done so much. We love what they do now and how they honor the charitable organizations and the city with the grants they do. Several of the board members are recipients, and we just think United Way is a valuable asset to the city. Sandra Eoff is the president of Eofficial Enterprises, which was started to open the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in downtown. We have a distinguished award, the Anita and Bill Elms Award, and we honor longtime supporters of United Way, the United Way of Odessa Executive Director Christina Escobar said. Those supporters that are still with us, that support us and do so much for us, we honor them. Today we honored Toby and Sandra Eoff, and we're honored to have that support from them. But Sandra and Toby Eoff talked about how honored they were to receive the award. Having known Bill and Anita, they were very responsible citizens of Odessa, and they did a lot, Sandra said. It's an honor and privilege to follow them in their footsteps. If there was only one charity in Odessa to support, it would be the United Way because they support the majority of charities in Odessa, Toby said. They're a great organization. Several campaign awards were given out from the 2022 fundraising campaign that began back in August with the ceremony at Odessa College. Today, we also honored Odessa College for their campaign, as Escobar said. They do tremendous things for us. They hold a large campaign with their employees and garner over $60,000 for us via payroll direct. So we honor Odessa College in that capacity. We also honor Dr. Gregory Williams and his team members for what they do for this community to help us serve families. The Volunteer of the Year Award was also given out before the end of the ceremony with marketing manager at JS Architects, Crystal A. Castillo, being this year's recipient. "It means the world to me," Castillo said. "I'm honored to be able to serve the city of Odessa in this capacity alongside United Way. The team is amazing, and they welcome me with open arms. To serve them is very easy from the heart." Castillo has served on numerous committees for the United Way of Odessa. Castillo has served in many different capacities for us, Escobar said. "You can always depend on her to be at different fundraisers or on different committees, so we're lucky to have her." The United Way of Odessa supports programs in 9 counties in West Texas, from Ector County to Culberson County and as far south as Brewster County. "The purpose of the United Way is vital," Escobar said. "It sort of serves as a warehouse for our agencies. We allow them to operate their agencies and serve their clients. They're the ones that see those clients firsthand. We want to be that background support that continues to fundraise and support them. We have 16 agencies that rely on our support, and we make it a goal to raise funds to support them and support the community." Commissioners approve airport resolution. During Tuesday's regularly scheduled meeting, the Ector County Commissioners Court unanimously approved a resolution in support of $15 million for Schlemmer Airport General Airport Improvement Projects. These funds were previously turned down by the court in July of 2021, as that $15 million was for runway extension. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett said this resolution would allow the county to spend the $15 million from TxDOT Aviation on improvement projects at the airport. "We have at least $15 million worth of projects that need to be done," Fawcett said. "What this does is not only relieves the Ector County taxpayers, but it also speeds up that process. If we would have had to spread out $15 million over 5 years, but instead we can use that $15 million right now, and it's the state's funding rather than ours." Mark Merritt, the chairman of the Airport Advisory Board, spoke to the court that Schlemmer Airport wants to remain a C/D2 and not upgrade to a C/D3. Merritt said, "If Schlemmer wanted to turn into a C/D3, that it would take way more than $15 million. Merritt said the airport would have to be rebuilt. Merritt told the court if Schlemmer Airport upgraded to a C/D3, larger aircraft, including freight flights from UPS, FedEx, or Amazon. The Airport Advisory Board wants this to be the best C/D2 airport in the state," Merritt said. During the meeting, "We are probably nowhere near that now, but we would like it to be. This would be a start. This would kind of get us there." Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 1, Mike Gardner, expressed during the meeting that he's leery about accepting these funds. Gardner said after Tuesday's meeting that he's going to remain cautious, but he said he knows the airport could use these funds for improvement projects. "I do want our airport to stay at the level that it is," Gardner said. "I don't want bigger airplanes flying over those houses and landing out there. I want to make sure whatever we do doesn't tie us into a commitment of having to take X amount of dollars and match X amount of dollars. As long as we can take that money and use it how we need to use it, I'm good with it. I just don't want us to get committed to having to take a certain amount of money every year." Though the court approved the new resolution for general airport improvement projects, Fawcett explained this resolution still has to be approved during the 88th legislative session. Fawcett expects a decision about this resolution to be made in May, but he said he will be monitoring the situation to ensure the language doesn't change from Tuesday's resolution. I'll be staying in contact and making sure during those appropriation hearings that the members are informed as to what the history behind this is, Fawcett said. They have already allocated this money. We aren't asking for new money. We are asking for this particular language change so that we can use it the way that local government wants to use it. The court also approved the Ector County Sheriff's Office to purchase new equipment through Axon, including 16 body cameras, 2 docking stations, 16 response licenses, 15 basic licenses, 8 pro licenses, and 16 device storage. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said after the meeting, those body cameras are for jail supervisors and transport officers. It's a liability issue, Griffiths said. It could save that officer from an allegation, but it also helps us to determine if that officer did violate a policy or the law. The court also approved a $5,000 donation from Villa and Sons Construction Incorporated for the sheriff's office, approved the 2023 annual list of gifts and memorial to the Ector County Library in the amount of $57,077.22. Approved the appointment of Timothy Benton, M.D., as acting local health authority in absence of the appointed local health authority for the Ector County Health Department. Approved an increase from $70 to $150 in the district clerk's locked cash drawer. Approved action to reinstate the Employee Action Committee. Approved a replat of a portion of lots 8 less the north 337.46 feet, Block 2, Pleasant Farms, Subdivision A, subdivision of 4.33 acres in Section 48, Block 43, T/3/S, Precinct 4. Approved the renewal of Astound Grande Communications Internet Service contract for the annex. Approved the upgrade with Keith Commissary. Approved the accounts payable fund, requirements, report for February 28, 2023, and review county financial statements and reports. Showcase gives visitors inside look at Avid. About 40 visitors got a look at the Advancement via Individual Determination program at Odessa High School Tuesday during its Avid Showcase. Avid students, including cheerleaders, hosted the event and welcomed people to the OHS Performing Arts Center. The event included the story of OHS's Avid journey and how they became a national demonstration school. School tours so visitors could see the program in action and teacher and student panels where audience members could ask questions, Avid director Amy Anderson said. There were representatives from Hobbs, New Mexico, Roscoe, Van Horn, and Andrews, to name a few. Every ECISD campus has Avid. They implement it in 4th and 5th grade, and there are about 7 campuses that have it school-wide. Every middle and high school has an Avid elective, Anderson said. There are a little more than 2,000 middle and high school students in the program and about 5,000 elementary schools. Avid teaches students to prepare for college with note-taking, organization, and time management skills, among others. Speakers included OHS Avid Coordinator Naomi Frutes and Principal Anthony Garcia. The Avid celebration will be at 6:30 p.m. April 18th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. ECISD is the largest district with the most Avid emphasis within our region. Even Midland only has one school that implements Avid, Anderson said. Pecos just started Avid and they also came. They just came for a learning visit about a month ago and they're back again for the showcase. Anderson said OHS revalidated its national demonstration school status last year. That's major because we had to do it in a virtual setting, and so not very many were able to do that, but Odessa High was one of those that was. Not every school that has AVID is a national demonstration school. It's something that you have to work very hard at, Anderson said. She added that they have a great systems in place to sustain the program. Ravi Shakyamuri and Mike Mills, executive directors of the Access program, were on hand. Access leverages technology and delivers quantifiable results in strengthening student outcomes with a focus on college, career, and military readiness and state higher education goals. Shakyamuri said AVID is a good way to prepare students for college. In college, students will be independent and have to decide what classes to take. Mills said he was super impressed with the students that welcomed them. I had a young man who took me under his wing and communicated exceptionally well. It's great to see that he's a senior, but that's a lot of development to have those social skills, and I know he learned that by being an AVID, so that was refreshing to see, Mills said. Access is a huge part of AVID, so we're glad to be here and see what's happening as we get so involved on the platform side. It's great to connect with students and teachers and be on the campus, Mill added. Nutrients that aid in your heart health by United Supermarkets dietitian team. The heart can be a difficult organ to understand. There are so many new things to learn about it. One thing is for certain, the heart is a strong and restless organ that works 24 hours a day to keep you going. It shows undeniable loyalty and support for your everyday life. So what are some of the ways of showing some of that love back? Polyethanols, omega-3s, and fiber are some of the nutrients that you can love up on as they work effortlessly to contribute to the heart. Polyphenol is an odd word, undoubtedly. However, there are multiple benefits of this naturally occurring compound that is found in many fruits and vegetables. They can help improve the function of the heart and blood vessels. They also promote the increase of HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, and decrease LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. It also decreases inflammation and blood clotting activity. Some foods that are known to contain polyphenols include apples, red wine, olive oil, nuts, seeds, berries, and turmeric, along with an assortment of other spices. We know what has your attention, though, the wine. Red wine has a substance named resveratrol, which has found to help lower the risk of cardiovascular disease. It also has shown to increase blood flow. Another interesting fact about it is that some research has found that it can reduce insulin resistance. Although red wine has some great benefits, we aren't suggesting you drink a whole bottle every night, but rather find moderation for what best fits within your lifestyle. Now, on to omega-3s. There are three different omega-3s. ALA acid, EPA acid, and DHA acid. ALA is mostly found in plant oils like flaxseed and canola oil. On the other hand, EPA and DHA are found in fish and fish oil. Overall, omega-3s may help reduce the risk of death from heart disease because it has been found to lower blood pressure and can assist in lowering triglyceride levels or fat levels in your body. Having high levels of triglycerides will cause your risk of heart attack to increase. This heart-loving nutrient, omega-3, can also prevent decreased blood flow. This relieves some of the stress on your heart. The American Heart Association recommends about 2 servings of fatty fish every week. This can include tuna, salmon, sardines, cod, catfish, and so many others. For those who cannot eat fish or fish products, you can try eating tofu, soybeans, walnuts, or as mentioned earlier, flax seeds. Including more omega-3 in your diet is a great way to show some love to your heart. A heart that's healthy and happy will help you thrive. Lastly, it's important to bring up fiber in this conversation. This is talked about quite a bit when it comes to digestion, but it also has some great benefits when it comes to your heart. A study found that fiber can help lower your blood pressure and helps lower total blood cholesterol levels. Another great benefit is that it can help reduce inflammation. Inflammation isn't just something that happens on the outside of your body, but can have some pretty negative effects on your insides as well. Inflammation damages healthy cells and tissues and can cause internal scarring and thus can cause issues with blood flow and overall function of the heart. So as you can tell, fiber runs much deeper than just helping you digest your food. You can find this great nutrient in foods like beans and legumes, fruit, vegetables, and whole grains. The heart is a major topic in today's society, but frankly, not enough people are aware of how to actually take care of it. Aside from the typical conversation of diet and physical activity, the heart has other needs to keep it fully working. Nutrients can be a big help in the cardiovascular world. Polyphenols, omega-3, and fiber all can be of great service to the heart and its everyday functions. Let's start doing more for our hearts by simply adding some of these great nutrients to our diets. Accused murderer back in jail. An Odessa man accused of beating his uncle to death 4 years ago is back in Ector County Jail after going through a competency restoration program. Yusbio Luna Lerma, 41, was arrested on a murder charge in connection with the February 15, 2019 death of Ilopolado Estorga, 64. Within a matter of weeks, his attorney at the time, Justice Lowe, asked for a psychiatric evaluation, stating Lerma didn't appear to understand he was in jail or what he was being told. The motion was granted, and Lowe notified the Ector County District Attorney's Office he intended to pursue an insanity defense. A doctor determined Lerma was incompetent to stand trial, and in June 2019, now retired Judge James Rush ordered Lerma to go through a competency restoration program at the state psychiatric facility in Big Spring. Lowe later became an Ector County District Court judge, and defense attorney Michael McLeish and Jason Leach were appointed to represent Lerma. In early February, doctors determined Lerma is now competent to stand trial, and he was returned to the Ector County Jail on Monday. A pretrial hearing is scheduled to be held March 7th in District Court Judge Lori Ruiz Kruchner's courtroom. According to Odessa Police Department reports, officers received an assault call around 11 p.m. February the 15th, 2019, in the 400 block of Ann Street and found Estorga suffering from head and facial wounds. He was later taken to Medical Center Hospital, where he later died. Lerma, who had left the scene prior to officers' arrival, was later located and admitted he fought with Estorga, who was also a neighbor of his. Road discussion leads to Kerr giving notice. Some council members ask Public Works Director to reconsider. Odessa Public Works Director Tom Kerr abruptly announced his resignation and started to walk out of the city's council's work session Tuesday afternoon. Two council members asked him to reconsider, and after the meeting, Kerr said he hopes to stay on. When asked if he would allow Kerr to rescind his resignation, Mayor Javier Hoven said, "Oh God, yes, I don't know how we got to that point." Kerr's outburst came in the middle of a discussion over his proposed list of future roadway projects that he and his staff have prioritized. His first list consists of 23 reconstruction projects with a project price tag of more than $91 million. The city's annual roads budget is about $6 million. The city would have to figure out how to pay the extra millions for the proposed projects. Portions of 23rd Street, 52nd Street, Billy Hake, 8th Street, 16th Street, Harless, University, Grandview, and East Ridge are amongst the top priorities. During Kerr's presentation, Hovind asked her about bidding out road projects separately from the utility projects that go hand in hand with them, saying he thought that bidding them together automatically makes the project more expensive. He also said he thought bidding the projects together limits the number of companies that can compete for projects. Kerr told the mayor sometimes bidding the projects works out well, other times not so much. Kerr told the mayor he thought a Crane Avenue project should be bid as a simple project because the road crews would have to wait until the utilities are completely done, and then the city would have to go out to bid again. Hovind said the crews would have to wait anyway, and the project would cost an extra 25%. Kerr disputed that, but could not say how much the city would pay. Hovind persisted and used Fraudy Road as an example. The two men then started talking over each other. "I'm asking, is it possible to look at?" Hovind said. "It's always," Kerr started to say. "I'm just trying to see if we can save some money here," Hovind interrupted. "Yes, sir, I understand," Kerr said. "I'm sorry, sir. I'm just trying to tell you what my perspective is." Seconds later, Councilman Chris Haney started to complain about West County Road. "You're just doing the intersections," Haney complained. "That's the state," Kerr pointed out. Haney said he knew that, but continued to complain about the road disintegrating. "I want to tell all of you right now, you have my immediate notification of retirement. I've been through enough stress. I thank you all very much. I give you 2 weeks' notice as a matter," Kerr said. As Kerr reached the door, Hovind remarked, "I guess we can't ask questions," and said it was like pulling teeth with Kerr. That prompted Kerr to return to the podium. "You can ask all the questions you want. If it's like pulling teeth from me, it's because I'm just trying to give you answers," Kerr said. "I understand," Hovind said. "All I'm trying to do is give you what you want. I've been trying to do that for years," Kerr said. "I have not been here years. I was just asking about one question. Is it a possibility to pull utilities?" Hovind said. "And I told you it was," Kerr said. Moments later, Kerr said again he's seen projects bid both ways. "Y'all may not recognize it, but we are under a great amount of stress," Kerr said, as Hovind tried to placate Kerr, telling him he's the expert and they need his help to understand. Kerr went on to explain that he lives in Midland out of necessity, but he loves Odessa and has worked hard for this city for years. He also said he grew up appreciating the importance of governments and said his grandfather was a county judge who helped establish Terrell County. Hovind repeatedly told Kerr they understood his frustration and were sorry for making him upset. However, he explained, the council has to answer to residents who often think the council makes decisions for nefarious reasons. They continued to talk about the different ways to bid projects before council members Gilbert Vasquez and Greg Connell asked her to rescind his resignation. Interim city manager Agapito Bernal then jumped in. "I appreciate all of your concerns, and infrastructure is very important. Tom is very important to the organization. Very important. I appreciate everything you do, Tom. I just want everyone to know how important Tom is," Bernal said. "I think we recognize that, city manager. The thing is, if we are really serious about engaging into this $91 million, we have to do something," Hovind said. "The city has to have a solid plan," Hovind said. Kerr then went on to talk about another set of needed road projects with a $263 million price tag. The meeting then adjourned. Kerr's outburst came less than 3 months after the city council fired city manager Michael Marrero and city attorney Natasha Brooks. Since that time, most of the city's top fire administrators have left, and assistant city manager Cindy Musi retired. No one eats alone at this table. Picture yourself walking into a lunchroom full of people talking and laughing. Imagine not knowing anyone and feeling a bit shy about having to sit at a table with others you do not know. Then a person walks over to your isolated table, sits down beside you, smiles, introduces him or herself, and proceeds to ask you how your day is going. We would all like to feel valued and respected when interacting with people. Making friends, connecting with others, and suffering from social anxiety can be the toughest roadblocks to the youth population today. Let's face it, we all want to feel included and establish connections with others as our human nature intended us to. During every third Friday of February, the mission of National No One Eats Alone Day is practiced. The significance of this day symbolizes youth social inclusion, increasing a sense of belonging, and reducing social isolation during lunchtime. We also celebrate this day to honor a 15-year-old girl who was frequently socially isolated and unfortunately passed away from her struggle with a facial syndrome. Most importantly, this day can show young people how significantly positive it can be to brighten someone's day by sitting with them, socializing, and increasing social acceptance. Some things that you can do to spread awareness and improve social acceptance include inviting people you do not normally talk to join your table before lunch and are making room for others who are looking for a seat or are walking around alone. Using icebreaker topics to get to know a person, such as asking about interests, sharing a funny story, or offering a compliment to lift their spirit. Spreading awareness about this day through researching more about this mission, talking to people at school, work, or posting about it on social media. Whether you are extroverted or introverted, we all, as human beings, deserve and want to establish some kind of social connection with people in our lives. Tapping into our compassion, thinking about doing one nice gesture to others we see struggling, or just simply observing what is negatively going on around us can be critical to changing the life of someone. Also, you never know how easy it could be to make a genuine connection with someone that could turn into a lasting friendship just by your effort in initiating a conversation. If we can be of assistance, feel free to contact Samaritan Counseling Center at 432-563-4144.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.